Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Pod Diva. Diva magazine turns 30 this year, and to celebrate, we're covering those 30 years in 30 days here on Pod Diva. I'm Rachel Shelley, and you might know me as the English heiress on The L Word. Let me take you back to 2021. Lil Nas X shamelessly stunned the world with his deliciously controversial top hit Montero, Call Me By Your Name, and blessed the gaze with the scandalous music video and satanic stage performances to match. Phoebe Bridgers smashed guitars on stage, settling sapphic hearts aflame, and Mistress of Darkness Elvira revealed that she's been in a relationship with a woman for the past 20 years. Lesbians always win. Here at Diva, we had exciting news, the launch of Pod Diva. Hurrah! Look how far we've come. Now, with over 100 exclusive episodes amplifying the voices of the LGBTQIA+ community and their allies. It's a bit like a gorgeous glossy in this little sweet ear of yours. To celebrate Diva's 30th birthday, we're taking a look back through our archives to see what was happening at Diva HQ and in the LGBTQIA community in 2021. We don't need too much plutonium as we're only heading back a couple of years. But let's crank the DeLorean anyway. Hold tight now. In February, we amplified LGBT History Month and crowned Heather Small Queen of the Cover, who told us that, quote, Black Lives Matter has galvanized our allies. In April's Lesbian Visibility issue, rock legend Horse McDonald confessed that, quote, singing saved my life when growing up, while Daisy Jones dropped some knowledge on how sapphic became chic. In April, the look of our magazine took a few twists and turns. Our cartoon-inspired covers of Lady Phil, Bethany Black, Liz Carr and Sandy Toksvig brought our featured stars to life in a playful new way and have since become sold-out collector's items. This coincided with a new, more inclusive Diva logline. We became the leading magazine for LGBTQI women and non-binary people. Team Diva welcomed everyone to shelter under this new umbrella term, celebrating each and every one of us with a Visible 100 campaign, those who were changing the game for women loving women. And so it evolved. The heat got hotter in July when Scream Fear Street star Kiana Madeira celebrated her revolutionary character, admitting that she had never seen a horror film that had a queer love story until now. And in August, the fabulously funny comedian, actor and writer Gina Yashir spilled the tea on being a black gay woman in showbiz. Jacqueline Taboni, aka Finley, followed shortly after in September, a Generation Q favourite, and shared the intimate tale of her coming out story. The L Word, Generation Q star Rosanie Zayas, who plucked at all our sapphic heartstrings as Sophie, tantalised viewers and readers on our October cover as part of her mission to make the queer community feel seen. We also got a taste of the extraordinary Jack Monroe in November, who showed us the raw, real and unfiltered side of herself with a feature all in her own words, sending many an LGBTQ heart a-racing with a photo shoot that was really cooking. Equally exciting for Diva aficionados was that December delivered the magazine's 300th issue, and to celebrate this queer-tastic milestone, we gift-wrapped everyone's favourite Brighton beauty, Heather Peace, in midnight blue sparkles and served her on the Christmas cracker of a cover to gloves. As any other year, the LGBTQIA community faced newsworthy highs and lows in 2021. Same-sex marriage was legalised in many areas of Mexico, creating widespread queer joy, while gays, lesbians and bisexuals were permitted to serve openly in the military in Ukraine. Trans people were banned. areas of the US, including Texas and Florida, furthered their agenda to encourage punishment and censorship of LGBTQIA issues and topics, and continued their ban against teaching or talking about queer topics in schools. Diva covered topics ranging from coming out to how to handle hard and fast crushes in 2021. We spoke to Yasmin Benoit, dubbing her the asexual superhero the world needs right now. We debated whether or not we would let Anne Lister ruin all of our lives and took a really close look at queer icons and their cats. We dove into sapphic favourites like Carol, starring Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara, and whether or not it's the ultimate Christmas film. Someone who definitely cast a strident vote in support of Carol as the ultimate queer-tastic Christmas film is the right royal Roxy Bourdillon. To gloves! Roxy is not only my Perfect Pod Diva co-host, she also just happens to be the reigning queen of all diva fiefdom. Miss Bourdillon took the regal reins from her predecessor, Carrie Lyle, in this year of our Ruby Tuesday Lipstick Lady 2021, and her energy, commitment, encyclopedic queer knowledge and roaring laugh will echo in the hallowed hallways of diva life forevermore. Amen. And there you have it, a hop, skip and a jump through 2021 through the lens of Diva Magazine and its readers. Tomorrow we will ring in 2022 as the new year, when Young MA and Beth Mead were feistily facing down the barrel of the camera to create more fabulous diva covers. If you want to stay in the loop, don't forget to browse our Pod Diva archive with over 100 exclusive interviews amplifying voices of the LGBTQIA community and their allies. It's Sunday again, and I hope you're going to stay with me because I've got another article to read to you. This one is by Christine Burns, and she delves into the Diva archive and finds trans inclusion is not just a current trend.
Pod Diva.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Pod Diva. L with the T. Then and now. Christine Burns delves into the Diva archive and finds trans inclusion is not just a current trend. The question of whether lesbians support or despise trans people has become a hot issue of late. It's a topic that was forced to the front of the LGBTQI news agenda in July 2018, when a group of women famously laid down in front of the Pride in London parade, claiming that they wanted to get the L out of LGBTQI. In the weeks that followed, Pride marches, LGBTQI publications and organisations around the country countered that message with impassioned support for trans people and a volley of alternative slogans. My local Pride was led by women holding a large banner proclaiming, "Manchester lesbians, stand by your trans." The "get the L out" persuasion seemed to be heavily outnumbered, even accounting for the number of famous straight people boosting their messages. But the thing that makes this question complicated is that there is certainly no lack of history in terms of hostile views from some quarters, just as straight feminists had once been very antagonistic towards lesbians. Equally, looking back on accounts from the 1970s and early 80s, there have also been examples of genuine support and community too. Personally, I've concluded over the last 30 to 40 years that it's a lottery. Lesbian women are as varied in their feelings about trans people as anyone else. Judge people by their behaviours, not by their label. So when Diva invited me to write about their coverage of trans issues for the magazine's 25th anniversary, I gladly accepted the commission, but had no preconceptions of what I might find. But first, how do you tackle 25 years of journalism when so much has happened in that time? Thankfully, Diva assigned a staff writer, Emily Eaton, to help find some relevant early cuttings for me. And what a treasure trove she unearthed. I was amazed by just how much trans and non-binary related material there was. Diva's first editor, Frances Williams, was at the helm for just 3 years, from issue one in April 1994 until handing over to Gillian Rogerson in 1997. Almost straight away, her magazine was tackling topics of joint lesbian and trans concern. In issue three, for instance, a feature about life in the Czech Republic tackled the shameful history of coercing lesbians to become men during the communist years. Others have written about this kind of practice, similar to what also happens in Iran with gay men, but the thing that stood out for me was that the writer pinned the blame in the right place, on straight culture. Some people assumed that if you desired women, then you must really want to be a man, it read. To me, as a trans woman, that's the same as some folks saying that if you want to be a woman, it's because you want to have sex with men. It's our common experience of straight, non-trans people's toxic naivety, and it warmed my heart to see that the very first cutting I read covered an experience that we have in common. Much of that early coverage, at least 4 or 5 mentions a year, seemed, to me, to approach gender-related issues by focusing on the contested margin between how far you can push masculinity as butch expression or drag versus those assigned female who simply identify as men. With the exception of a feature with Kate Bornstein in issue 4 on the launch of her book Gender Outlaw, trans women didn't feature very much. I can see the sense in the butch and trans man angle as a lesbian eye view on a boundary that is home to so much controversy. This is the line where people nowadays protest that maybe young dykes are being whisked off to be transed at the first sign of gender nonconformity. Honestly, they're not. A bit of me thrills at the way that the magazine was navigating all around this question. Gillian Rogerson, editor from 1997 until 2004, doesn't think there was a specific rationale, though. There was no particularly conscious plan to our coverage of trans people in Diva, she says, at least not when I was the editor. I saw the magazine's purpose as reporting on news and cultural events of interest to lesbians and bi women, publishing features that would entertain and or educate our readers, and perhaps most important, making our readers feel happy and positive about their bodies and their sexual choices. I am fascinated by the ways that people perform their identities, Rogerson continued, so articles exploring that were interesting to me. I don't believe that butch dykes are being forced or even encouraged to transition by some kind of social pressure. Certainly the physical means to transition are more available now than they once were, so it is possible for more people to do it, but nobody transitions on a whim or because of fashion. That's ridiculous. Transitioning may be liberating, but it also requires tremendous courage and strength of character. So it's not a decision that anyone makes overnight. There was an interview in issue 6 with the celebrated male impersonator, man for a day, teacher, and drag king, Diane Tor. She said, "Women have a curiosity about the sense of entitlement and privilege immediately granted to a man just by virtue of his gender," she said, adding, "contemporary cross-dressing is no longer seen as the outward sign of identity. It is now fashionably understood as a way of performing gender, as a demonstration of the arbitrary nature of gender roles. This was bang on point for a magazine born to ride the wave of so-called lesbian chic and wrestle it back from the hands of straight media producers who had a more commodified and lipsticked idea of what a lesbian was. Tours workshops invited women to take up various stereotypes of male gender performance. The male facade gave these women a license to be bad girls, to enjoy the privilege of treating everyone like dirt while still occupying the centre of attention, she said. Reading this made me aware of how much there was in common between Tor and the teachings of the aforementioned Kate Bornstein. This was content that both cisgender lesbians and trans people could happily sing along with. I'm in awe of the subtle way that the magazine could introduce readers to this material without appearing to lecture on what I firmly believe to be common ground. This is not to say that the magazine was averse to talking about actual trans lives. There were features with young FTMs, people unmistakably over the frontier between butch and man. Things like this and an amazing set of Lauren Cameron's photographs of muscled and oiled trans men in issue 18 periodically drove some readers to query why a lesbian magazine should be devoting space to actual men. It was clearly a fine line for a 90s lesbian readership. My view is that a good magazine stretches and expands reader horizons. Writers were asking hard questions too. Reviewing Zachary Nataf's book Lesbians Talk Transgender, Julia Brosnan highlighted a hot issue even today. If you discover your female lover was once a man, does this mean you're no longer a lesbian? Even more scarily, will lesbians cease to exist? That was 1996, and it amazes me that some people are still treating those questions as unresolved 23 years later. The following issue, in April 1996, saw Helen Sandler grappling with the challenges when one lesbian in your social circle goes abroad and comes back as a heterosexual man. A question further confounded when the writer attended a party in her best androgynous outfit and found herself mistaken for said man. These writings speak to fears about identity and resentments about trans, quote, taking away our lovely lesbians. End quote. In 2004, Gillian Rogerson handed the reins to Diva's longest-serving editor to date, Jane, now Chance, Chaselska, who steered the magazine all the way through to 2017. Chance had been an enthusiastic writer about trans, intersex, and related topics for years already, pitching to cover the first International Transgender Film Festival in 1997, featuring a Native American two-spirit performer, Ayanna Maracle, and later interviewing people like Jenny Roberts, a trans lesbian who co-founded and ran the famous Libertas bookshop in York for many years. Chance said, I remember personally very much wanting to write about trans issues in Diva from as early as I can remember. Gillian Rogerson was very receptive to that, and there was never any reason to justify why or anything. I was aware of the discussions then, as now, that some lesbians were saying, we're losing our butches, and I always argued with people and said that's not the right way to look at it. Chance was also responsible for bringing more actual trans writers into the fold, including Paris Lees, Freya Benson, Juno Roche, and Jane Fay. The arrival of such contributors helped end any trans women deficit the magazine might previously have had. Was there anything that Chance regrets? Their reply? I just wish we'd maybe done more sooner and had more trans lesbians writing about their own experiences rather than having cis lesbians writing about them. But Chance is proud too. The thing I'm very proud of is the time when we stood up to be counted. There was a particular letter, critical of trans women, that was written and signed by a bunch of people in The Observer in 2015. We made a very categorical editorial statement in support of trans people, trans women in particular. I was very pleased that we did that. I think it underpinned what we'd been thinking, but had never maybe made completely explicit. Everyone I ever worked with on the Diva team was totally pro-trans, without exception. And the evidence suggests that this has always been the case. Christine Burns, MBE, is an author, activist and editor of Trans Britain.
Pod Diva.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.